Welcome to another message from Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer to invest in generations to influence community. And now, today's message.
All right. You can stop the obligatory clapping. It's Sunday night. We're going to have fun. We're going to have a party. And man, I'm just so excited to see what God does. I'm really, really excited. You know what? Raise your hand if you like gifts. Awesome. I love some of you. Like, no, I don't want gifts. Fine. You don't get nothing. I'm going to give two books away because that's the thing. Bob, I'll tell you about them first before we get going. The Holy Spirit Is Not a Bird is a book I wrote. Actually, just came out recently as like revised and expanded. It's 13 different chapters, all in a different subject matter on Holy Spirit. Basically, instead of writing 13 different books on Holy Spirit, we just wrote one with 13 topics in it. So I'm going to give this one away. Raise your hand if you want this one. Okay, you were the first one up. I regret this now, but it's okay. I'm just going to walk to you. We're just gonna pretend like this is a game show. Okay, I don't know if you can tell, didn't think this through totally. The other book I wrote this during the pandemic because I had time on my hands, obviously, wasn't traveling a ton. This one is called Better Than Jesus. Jesus says, we talked about it this morning, Jesus says, it is better for you that I, Jesus, leave and send you Holy Spirit, because if I don't go, I can't send him to you, but if I go, I will send Holy Spirit to you. So this is a deeper dive on what Jesus says about Holy Spirit, and kind of a deeper dive of miracles and signs and wonders and stuff like that. The first book talks about your first miracle. We'll talk about that tonight. And this one talks about living a miraculous life all the time. So I'm going to give this one away. Raise your hand if you want this one. Okay, in the very back with the beard, can you walk? That'd be okay? I need you to earn this one. There we go. Oh, I'm sorry. See, now we both look foolish. Okay. I love when we do that. One last thing. These are free for everybody. If you want to pay for them, you can. These are my trading cards, basically, back when I had hair. So if you want to just imagine that. But for real, at the table in the back, I would love for you to pick one up just to remind yourself to pray for us. Prayer, is a big deal. Things happen that would not normally happen when we pray. So we're gonna pray. But thanks for checking that out. And then we'll sell them here at the end of service. And they are cheaper here than online because that's how this all works. But I want to kind of let you know what we're going to do tonight. I'm going to tell a couple stories. And then we're going to talk about the Word of God, what He says about healing, also what He doesn't say about healing. And then at the end of service tonight, for a couple moments, we're going to pray for anybody who's hurting, physically, emotionally, or spiritually. I really do mean this, is that, man, anxiety and depression is just as important to Jesus as a broken leg, and He wants to heal all of it. So we're gonna dive into all of it. So I don't want us to talk ourselves out of praying for healing. You might be here, and maybe you've prayed for someone before, and it didn't work out the way you wanted it to. Or maybe even for yourself, you have something physically, emotionally, or spiritually that you've prayed for before, and it didn't work out the way you thought it was. And I want to tell you this truth before we go into anything, is just because God didn't doesn't mean God doesn't. Just because God didn't doesn't mean that God doesn't. So regardless of whatever has happened in the past, has nothing to do with tonight, and I believe tonight is a really awesome night for a miracle to happen. If you believe that, say, oh yeah. All right, we're on the same page. So I want to tell you the first time I ever prayed for someone and saw them get better. I'm not going to share the stories that I prayed for someone and they got worse because those are just depressing. That doesn't happen ever, at least not yet, maybe tonight. But keep laughing and it will. I'm just excited. But so I was in Atlanta, Georgia, where I live. I was a part, I was just hanging out at my church, and there was a healing service. There was actually four weeks of it. Of just teaching on it, and then the fourth week was an actual time of just prayer. And I wasn't there as a pastor or a preacher, I was there as a person. Raise your hand if you're a person. Okay, cool. Some of you you don't know, it's fine. We don't know about you either. So I was there not as a pastor or a preacher, I was there to just receive, to learn more. And so I was sitting in the front row, and I was just learning and listening, and then the time came for people to get prayed for. And so, you know, we live in Atlanta, a large, very large city. We attend a larger church, and so there was a massive amount of people waiting to get prayed for. And there was probably around like 400 or 500 people in line to get prayed for. So the service is kind of wrapping up to the prayer time. And so there's a person scattered all over the front of the altar, basically like a prayer leader who's been talked to and, you know, kind of prayed up beforehand. And so, but every person, they would stand at the altar and a line would form kind of in front of them to just get prayed for. It kind of made it efficient. But these lines were so long that all of them went out to the back of the room, out the door, and started wrapping around the church. And I remember sitting in the front row thinking, oh my gosh, this is going to take forever. If only there were some more faithful people in this room who would get off their butt and actually pray for some people as I was sitting in the chair. And so, for real, yeah, I know. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm just judging all these people because I'm like, man, this is going to take hours. Like, this is ridiculous. Like, and all of a sudden, I felt this nudge from Holy Spirit to go up and pray for people. Now, this is when I was 21 years old, so this is 8 years ago. And so I'd never seen a miracle like this ever in my life. I'd prayed for it before, but I had never seen it before. And again, just because God didn't doesn't mean that God doesn't. And so I want to be covered when I do things like this. And so I go up to my pastor and I say, hey, it looks like there's a lot of people. Seems like you could use some help. Could I pray for people? And my pastor, she said, sure, we'll take anybody, which I don't love the laughing. I didn't love it. It wasn't a huge vote of confidence for me specifically because I'd never really seen this before. And so I was waiting for my pastor to be like, yes, Ty, let me pray over you. You got this. She was like, yeah, we'll take anybody. And then she just walked away. And so I was like, okay. And I walked to I was at the very front center of the stage, and all of a sudden a line formed for me to pray for people. And I started praying for people. And person after person, it was really wild. No one was healed. Person after person, nothing is happening. For good 15, 20 minutes, I am praying person after person, and nothing is getting better. I know I'm building a lot of faith in the room. But nothing's happening. However, next to me, there is a guy praying for people. And then to my other side, there's a girl praying for people. The guy is seeing, like, for real, I can see before my eyes, blind eyes opening, deaf ears opening, people getting out of wheelchairs, leaving crutches. And then there's my line. Have you ever been at Walmart or you're shopping somewhere and there's multiple lines and all of them seem long and then you feel like you get the best line and you're like, this is going to be way faster. And then you realize you actually chose the worst line and it takes longer than the other ones. I was the worst line, okay? This is real. I was praying for people with my eyes open, and as I'm praying for people, I see in the back of the line, people are leaving my line to go to other lines. And like they were leaving, and I can't blame them. Like honestly, like I had zero results going on. And for every person I prayed for, if I'm very honest with you, my friends, for every person I prayed for and it didn't work out, it edified this belief system in me that I wasn't good enough or spiritual enough to pray for this. Man, every time it didn't work out, I just kept believing this lie that I wasn't spiritual enough or this just wasn't for me. And so I told myself, I'm going to pray for one more person and then I'm done. And not just for the night, but probably for years because I was devastated. Because I was like, I thought God could do this through anybody. And I wasn't there as a somebody. I was there as anybody. Like God can do this through anybody. And so I'm going to pray for one more person. And this lady, she doesn't really walk up to me. She limps up to me. She ends up telling me that for her entire life, for 40 plus years, she's had just a kind of a defect with her left hip. And she has, for her entire life, never been able to walk, jump, run without severe pain. She's been limping her entire life. And all I could think of is, this is not the line for you. You know, I'm like, this hasn't worked out. I don't know if you paid attention, but people are leaving altars crying, but people are leaving my line crying for the wrong reasons. And so I prayed for her, and nothing happened. And then I started to think, you know, maybe I just need to try out some new methods. Like, I had never learned about this, but maybe this was going to work. So the guy next to me, he was praying loudly. And so I started praying loudly, which scared her. That didn't work out. Then the lady next to me was praying. She was praying very quietly, so I tried praying quietly. Then she couldn't hear me, so that was even more confusing. And I was just like, I was done. Like, this is stupid. Like, this isn't working out. This isn't for me. This is for others. That's a terrible belief system that many of us can have. And so I prayed one more time. I said, God, if you want to do this, I need you to do this because I can't do this, but I believe your power can. It's not my power. It's your power. So I pray, man, I pray you'd heal this person. So I prayed for her one more time, and the craziest thing happened. Nothing happened. And I thought this was it. Like, I prayed the good prayer. I said, it's not on me. It's on you, Jesus. Like, I thought I did all of the tricks of the trade. And then she looks at me. She's about to walk away. She says, well, thanks. And I'm like, I don't know what you're thanking me for, but whatever. And then she takes one step away. She takes a step to the left to walk away from me. And all of a sudden, as she steps, I hear this loud popping sound. And her hip literally got put back into place for the first time in her entire life. And she looks at me. She starts crying. And then she starts running and jumping and doing all of these things she's never been able to do without pain. And what's wild is this. 2 minutes before this, I had already convinced myself that I was going to not pray for anyone almost ever again for this. But once I saw one person get healed, I was there for like 3 more hours. And I saw person after person get healed. And I wasn't there as a pastor or a preacher. I was there as a person just like you. And so I believe for you, even if you don't believe for yourself, is that Holy Spirit wants to do something new that you've never seen before. Regardless of age, regardless of how long you've been a Christian before, man, God wants to use you. And what's wild is once you have faith for healing, it goes from one to dozens, to hundreds, and now we, you know, I've, just in my life, just in like the last like 8 or 9 years, you know, I've seen probably tens of thousands of people healed, and just God's done awesome things. And so tonight, we're gonna talk about how all of us can walk in this, because the truth is, this morning we talked about it and prayed about it, is that this morning we are empowered by Holy Spirit to do exactly what I'm talking about. And so if you are here and you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, man, you've been a faithful believer for years, but you've never prayed for someone like this, then you've almost been filling up your car with gas and never actually using your car. And God has filled you up for a supernatural purpose, and we are going to do this in a very normal way tonight. At the end of it, I'll even walk us through exactly how we're going to pray for each other in this setting to kind of help us all out. And so before we talk about how this does happen, I want to talk about how this does not happen. Because there's often a misconception with healing, and it is this. There is a misconception that God makes us sick. But I want to tell you the truth is God doesn't make us sick. God does not make us sick. Matthew 10, verse 8, if you have your Bibles, say, oh, yes, I do. That I don't believe you, because I was pretty quiet. Okay, Matthew 10, 8, we'll have it on the screen. Matthew 10, 8, this is Jesus speaking to his disciples. And all believers now, and he's saying this, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Actually, let's do this. Look to the person next to you. Look to the person next to you, say, get out. Okay, we're good. Drive out demons, we're good there. I was worried about some of you, but it's kind of fine. Freely you've received, so freely you should give. Jesus is instructing his believers. Here's what I love. Jesus does not say, pray for this sick. Jesus says, heal this sick. He's saying, don't petition for it to happen, just make it happen. And so what I love is Jesus is commanding, he's saying to do something. It's not making a suggestion, he's literally commanding them, heal the sick, raise the dead, do all of these things. Jesus says to do this. And anytime you see Jesus do anything, it is a representation of God's character. Anytime you see Jesus do anything, it is a representation of God's character. So God isn't going to make somebody sick in order to get credit for being the one who makes them better. In other words, like God isn't going to push you down in order to get the credit for picking you back up. Man, the truth is God is a healer, not a harmer. God is a healer, not a harmer. Let me say this though. Especially as we're going to pray for people who are hurting and sick, I always say this. This is the disclaimer. I believe God is a healer. I also go to the doctor. I also have a dentist. I also go to a chiropractor. So tonight, rule of thumb, if you get healed for something, praise Jesus. but please keep taking your medicine until the doctor says so, because I don't want you to die, okay? That would be really weird. But for real, and what's actually awesome, because some people think that's a lack of faith, but I think it's actually more faithful to go to a doctor and to explain what that you believe that God has done for you, and then you can have actual evidence and proof of what God has already done. So if you take medicine, please keep taking medicine. I always pray before I go to the doctor, but I still go to the doctor. And so the truth is that God is a healer, not a harmer. And man, the truth is that God wants to heal us. God wants to heal us. Man, God wants to heal us on a personal level. Psalm 103, 2-3 says this, "Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all of your sins and heals all of your diseases." I love this verse. It makes me think of a couple years ago, my wife was offered a new job. Someone had reached out to her and said, "Hey, you'd be perfect for this." And a part of that conversation, they talked about really the salary and benefits negotiation. They talked about how to do this. It's really wild. We actually have friends who have certain jobs just for the benefits. And this verse reminds me of that, because the truth is we get these benefits from Jesus, because we don't just get the salary of salvation, but we all become benefactors of God's benefits, that he can heal all of our sicknesses and forgive all of our sins. And so we receive it in the same way. Man, when we pray for salvation, a lot of us do this traditionally pretty simply. We pray a prayer and we believe it. But with healing, what ends up happening for so many believers and non-believers is we end up begging God to heal us. But yet we typically don't beg him for salvation, which I would think would be a significantly harder to do. But yet, the truth is for tonight as well, is you do not have to beg God for what he already wants to give you. You do not tonight, we are not begging God to heal us or to heal others. We are operating in what God is already doing and what he has already paid for. You know, it says by his stripes, we have been made whole. We've been healed. It's a past tense idea. So God wants to heal us, but also God wants to heal others. James 5, 14 through 16 says this, "Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick." I love that. "And the prayer of faith shall save the sick." Faith has a lot to do with healing. And we're going to do a quick math thing real quick. There are two numbers I want you to think of and remember are these. There's 12 and 19. 12 and 19. There are 19 times in the Bible where Jesus is praying for someone, giving them healing on a one-to-one basis. So it's Jesus and another person. There are 19 times where this happens. 19 out of 19, they're all healed. Every single one of them are healed. It's not an except. There's no, Jesus never says, "Oh, I can't do it for you." And so every time they're healed, but 12 out of the 19 times, a majority of the time, Jesus ends the moment by saying, "Your faith has made you well." Your faith has made you well. So the majority of time in Jesus' ministry, when healing happens, Jesus is saying the majority of the time, it's on their faith. It's on other people's faith. You know, I think of so many times, you know, when the man is lowered through the roof by his friends, Jesus sees the friend's faith and he says, "Their faith has made you better." He sees the woman with this female issue. She pushes through a crowd, touches the hem of Jesus' garment. He says, "Power left me." And then they have a kind of this exchange. And then he says to the lady, after she's healed, he says, "Your faith has made you well." Your faith has made you well. And I really think about this, is that faith is like the currency of the miraculous. Faith is like the currency of the miraculous, and I want us all to have an increase of faith tonight for what God wants to do in your life tonight and tomorrow. Man, because I believe this, if you will step into faith and say, "God, would you use me to heal the sick?" you will start hearing about people's sicknesses all the time. It drives me a little crazy, if I'm totally honest. It's like every time we have a waitress, they're always sick. They're always hurting. Like every time we go to Walmart, we're always praying for people. Not always, but usually. And like all of a sudden, you will realize that God will answer your prayers. If you say, "God, help me to heal the sick," he will give you opportunities to do so all the time. You know what people will always tell you about and they will complain about without you even asking them is their pain. Like they will be like, "Oh my gosh, my back just hurts all the bad." And you're like, "Oh, like so bad." And many of us are like, "Okay, I'll pray for you." Or my favorite is this. Someone will post on Facebook, I'm not feeling well. Please pray for me. All these comments. I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you. But man, I want us to get to a faith level. We're not commenting, I'll pray for you, but we actually pick up the phone and pray for them, because the difference between posting, I'll pray for you, and actually praying for them is often the difference between a sick person and a healed one. Man, maybe God can use those comments. I don't know. But man, every time I see someone who's sick, man, I want to pray for them. Because if I can be super honest with you, if you understand this, that Jesus wants to use you individually, regardless of age, regardless of faith age, man, God wants to use you to heal. If you understand that, then how much do you have to hate people not to pray for them when they need prayer? Man, the real thing is, most of the time that we don't pray for people who are sick, we do that out of an insecurity because we're worried about what happens if I pray for them and it doesn't work out. The worst case scenario is they feel the same physically, but they feel loved on emotionally. That's the worst case scenario. Best case scenario is that God heals them. And so I love that we can use our faith. And so, but we need to grow in it. And there's two ways we grow in faith with Holy Spirit. There are fruits of faith and there are gifts of faith. So there are 9 gifts of Holy Spirit. There are 9 fruits of Holy Spirit. Man, and there is one that is synonymous, one that is in common, and that is faithfulness. There's a gift of faith that's given to us in a moment, and the fruit of faithfulness that's grown over time. So let's talk about the fruit for just a moment before we pray. So when I grew up, I lived across the street from this small farm. So when I would go up to the bus stop, which was my driveway, I would stand out there in Midland, Michigan, which is where I was born. Fun fact, Pastor was apparently also born in Midland, Michigan, which is the most, I still can't get over it. It's still weirding me out, but it's fine. And so I'm in Midland, Michigan. I am at the bus stop. And all the time in the mornings, I would see a farmer tending to his crops. They weren't many, but they were his. And I saw him walk out to his crops. But I never saw this. I never saw the farmer go out to his crops, look at his crops, and say, plants, grow right now. Like I never saw him go out to his field of corn and say, corn, I need you to grow right now. Yet so many of us do that with fruit of Holy Spirit all the time. We beg God to grow in us instantly that he wants you to perfect over time. Man, I, my favorite prayer of all time, it's very funny to me, is when I hear people pray this prayer. God, give me patience right now. I won't wait another minute for it, Lord. I don't want you to delay, Jesus. I want your patience now, Jesus. Like, we pray for that, but we don't actually really think through it. Also, praying for patience is the most dangerous prayer because God will never just give you patience. He will give you opportunities to be patient. My Lord in heaven, he'll do it all the time. And so I love this moment. But the truth is with faith, it can grow over time with a fruit of faithfulness, like all fruits of Holy Spirit grow over time. A good example would be this. This is a made-up example, although if it happens, it's fine. Let's say tonight, I'll pray for as many people as I can. Tonight, I'll pray for everybody, but we'll also pray for each other. But let's say someone tonight comes up to me, and someone's here, and you are completely blind. I don't think there is anybody, but if you are, no big deal. We've seen it happen before, no big deal. So you come up to me, you're completely blind, I pray for you, you're healed. Praise Jesus. Then a second person tonight comes up to me after that. They are also completely blind. I pray for them, they're completely healed. Praise God. Then a third person tonight comes up to me. They are also completely blind. At this point, I would probably have us stop drinking the water in Kansas. Like, I'm like, what is going on? That would weird me out. But then I pray for the third person, and let's say they're healed too. Here's my question. Don't you think I would have more faith for the third person than I did for the first person? Absolutely. I would have way more faith for the third person than I did for the first person. Why? Because I've already seen God do it. I've already seen God do it. So at the third person, it is no longer faith. To me, it is a fact because I've already seen God do it. And that's what I love about nights like tonight is that, man, I want us to pray for one another because if you've never seen God heal the sick through you, man, tonight's a really fun night for you to start stretching and using that muscle, maybe even for the first time or the first time in a long time. But man, I love when we can pray for one another because it starts this snowball effect of faith. Because there are some things that I personally, I mean, we've prayed for tons, thousands of different things, but there's one issue I've seen healed more than any other issue, and that is people's backs, and like especially things like scoliosis. I have seen hundreds, if not thousands, of backs healed in the last like 8 years. So anytime someone has a back issue, it doesn't take me a lot of faith, because at this point in my faith, it's already a fact. And that's where I want us to be, is that when we see God and we think he's going to do something, we already see it as if it's already done. Because that's what real faith is looking at an issue and see it as it's already solved. The other way we grow in faith is this, is through gifts of Holy Spirit. Gifts of Holy Spirit, one of them is the gift of faith. There are nine of them in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And one of them is just great faith, where Holy Spirit will drop into your spirit. He will give you faith that maybe even is his faith to push you in a place where you might not have faith for yourself. And maybe I would believe this is many of you do this and you don't even know it yet. Man, maybe there's moments where you're talking to somebody and all of a sudden you have a better belief for them or on behalf of them. And it could be because God is giving you faith that's bigger than your own. Because God wants you to believe in things that are bigger than whatever you've seen before. And so in just a couple minutes, we're actually going to pray for one another. But I want to kind of go over how tonight we're going to pray for people. We're going to make it really simple and straightforward. And we're going to spend most of our time tonight just really praying for one another. And I want tonight to be this, we're just pregnant for a kid, so we're having a kid in 2 months, but one thing I can't wait to do is to teach my kid how to ride a bike. I think that's very fun, but I've been told it is better to teach a kid to ride a bike in the grass than on the pavement, because if they fall on the pavement, they're going to get hurt. But if you teach kids how to ride a bike on the grass, if they fall, it doesn't hurt so much. So tonight, as we pray for one another, as we're growing in this, learning how to do this maybe, I want to let you know that tonight, this place is a grassy place. That if it doesn't work out the way you think it's supposed to work out, it's totally okay. We are new at this. Man, we are just trying to develop this. And just because, man, if it doesn't happen tonight, just because God didn't, doesn't mean God doesn't. But my belief for all of us is that, man, every person we pray for will get at least even 1% better. Because 1% better is still 100% better than yesterday. I think that math adds up. Maybe not. If not, tell me later. But man, the truth is here's how we're going to pray for people tonight. We're going to do similar to the story I told this morning. In a moment, I'll give kind of some instructions of how we're going to and when we're going to pray. But we're going to do this is we're going to, when we see people that we feel led to from Holy Spirit, I believe Holy Spirit is going to nudge you in the right direction of who to pray for. And so what we're going to do is when we go up to that person, we're going to ask them a question. Can I pray for you? That's number one. Can I pray for you? If they say no, you leave them alone, okay? This isn't time for you to be like, well, I know what you've said, but I know what the Lord said, and I'm gonna pray for you tonight. I don't know why my voice changed like that, but it's fine. And so, but like, if they say no, then you leave them alone. Don't be a weirdo. Don't be manipulative. We ain't doing that tonight. But if they say yes, then awesome. Then the question we're going to ask them is not, what is your problem or what is your sickness? Because how rude is that? We're going to ask them, what are you believing God for? What are you believing for God to do tonight? Because what I love about this question, not just here but everywhere, is instead of saying, hey, what do you need prayer for? It puts this negative onto it where this spins the positive. It activates faith already. Like, hey, what are you believing God for? And so they say, I'm believing God to heal my back. That's already more of a statement of faith rather than a statement of saying, well, I'm praying for my back to get healed. I hope that happens tonight. We go from like kind of a semi-lukewarm faith to a statement of faith. I'm believing God to do this. And we're going to pray for a couple different things. But man, I want to pray tonight physically, emotional, and spiritual healing. Like depression and anxiety, all of that stuff, past traumas, those are just as real, if not even more real, than broken legs. And God wants to touch all of it. So if I can have my friends in the band actually already just kind of make their way back up, I want to end with this. The question is probably this. Well, how much faith do I need to receive healing or to give it out? Man, I love, there's different moments in the Bible. You know, sometimes people have to go and they have to wash up in the lake like a bunch of times and then they're healed. Sometimes they have to go and find where Jesus was. But what I love is this, is that man, if you will just say yes to Jesus, that's all it really takes. But I want to give a quick story. The first time I ever did a service kind of like this, I was in Mobile, Alabama. Raise your hand if you've been to Mobile, Alabama. Oh my gosh, so many people. What in the world? Did not expect that. So I had never been to Mobile, Alabama. I have not been back. Maybe I'll be back. So, but I was doing a service in Mobile, Alabama, and there was all of these healings happening. It was pretty crazy. And so, you know, backs healed, deaf ears opened, all these crazy things. And then I saw this guy on the far side of the room with his arms crossed and shaking his head no. And all I could think was, I don't want to talk to him. So conveniently enough, I felt this nudge from Holy Spirit. And you already know where I'm going. And he's like, you got to go pray for him. And I told Holy Spirit, but he looks scary and I don't want to. And then God told me really lovingly that he doesn't care about how I feel in that moment, which is fine. And so he told me really to kind of just to grow up. And so I walk over to the guy and he looks more frustrated with every step I'm getting closer to him. And I said, hey man, you seem kind of frustrated. Are you okay? And he's like, man, I just don't know about this. I just don't know. I love this. He said, this just seems too good to be true, which I 100% agree. Because I was like, I wasn't trying to be super spiritual, but I was like, I think it is crazy. I think it is too good to be true because there's a God who loves us so much that not only did he send his son to die for us, but he gives us the power to be healed and restored for bodies that don't even last forever. How wild is that? Like Jesus loves you so much that he wants to actually heal you and heal through you. And so I said, this is crazy, man. And then I felt this nudge again. This would be called a word of knowledge. And you know, I really believe that Holy Spirit wants to use all of us in words of knowledge. I talk about that a little bit in books, but really it's this. It's getting to a place where you are letting God control the narrative instead of your own thoughts controlling the narrative. It's God's best rather than my worst for these people in their life. But so in this moment I said, hey man, this might be really weird, but I have this feeling that in the very like lower part of your back, you've been in pain for a long time. Does that mean anything to you? He looks at me and he says, oh snap. Say, oh snap. Yep, not the same though, still again. In church this time, okay? For real, he went all out. Please, tonight, do not. He cussed at me, but don't do it tonight, please. Wait till we're in the lobby, okay? Please don't. But so he looks at me and he's like, how did you know that? And I'm like, honestly, I just think God wants to do something new in your life. I don't know. I had nothing else to say to him. I was like, I don't know, but what's going on? And he's sitting in a chair and he pulls out, you know, he kind of points out both of his legs. And I saw what the issue really was. And he told me that one of his legs was about 5 inches shorter than his other leg. And it's been like this all of his life. So for all of his life, he's been basically walking side to side in severe pain because his legs aren't aligned perfectly. And so if I'm very honest, I had never heard of or seen this or read about this in the Bible. So I was like, out loud, I said, can I pray for you? In my head, I said, Jesus, I don't know if you can do this, but he can. And so I said, hey man, could I pray for you? I don't know what's going to happen, but I'd love to pray that your pain would go down. If I'm honest, my belief was for his pain to go down. That's what my belief is for. I asked him, hey, can I pray for you? And he said one word. He said, sure. Say sure. Sure. He said, sure. He wasn't pumped about it. He wasn't like, yes, praise Jesus. But he also didn't say no, and he didn't cuss at me again, which is really appreciative. And so I did this. I was nervous to pray, if I'm really honest. So he's sitting in a chair. I put my hand on his shoulder and I looked the other way because I don't know. And in this service, for whatever reason, there was probably 3 or 4 people who were watching me pray for people. And if that happens tonight, that's fine. I know for some people, they need to see it in order to believe it, which I can understand that. So they were watching me pray for a couple people. And so I put my hand on his shoulder and I pray, Jesus, I pray you would take his pain away. I pray you would heal my friend. And all of a sudden, I hear those 3 or 4 people, they gasped. They went, and all I could think was, oh my gosh, his leg is gone. Like, I don't know. Like, I never prayed for this before. Like, did I pray too much? And I asked them what's going on. And they ended up telling me, and I saw for myself, they said they gasped because they'd never seen like this. They literally saw the man's leg grow out before their eyes. And it was completely even with both legs. And there's 2 things I think about with this. Number one is this, man, I am so mad that I didn't watch it happen. Man, I'm so mad. I'm so mad at myself for having only enough faith to make the pain go away and not enough faith to see the whole thing out. Now, obviously, God did something bigger than what I prayed for. Come on. And he wants to do that through you. Man, he wants to do it through you. Man, I love that, man. A grain of a mustard seed can move a mountain, the Bible says. So I always wonder, what could God do with a coconut of faith? Man, if that's also a seed, I just wonder. But the other thing I think of is this. This is super silly, but it's this. I've been thinking about this lately because I've shared this story a couple times. And I'm like, you know what I've realized? I am really glad that God is a nice God, that he grew out the one leg and didn't make the other leg shorter. You know, imagine going into church like this, and then you leave church like this. Imagine how frustrating that would have been. I'm just glad God has a sense of humor, but I'm glad that that night it worked out really well. But here's what I really understood, is how much faith do me and you need? How much faith do we need to pray for others? And how much faith do we need to pray to receive faith? How much faith do we need? How much faith we need is this. I believe you just need sure enough faith. Sure is enough. Man, sure is enough. The guy didn't say yes, and he didn't say no. All he said was sure. And the truth is, I believe this. If you will say sure to Jesus tonight, he will say 100% yes to you every single time. If we will say sure to him, even if you're a little bit in the unknown, man, it's okay. As long as you will take a step of faith, both to be receiving healing and to give it out, I believe God can do more with your little faith than, man, he can do, man, just without it. Because Jesus says, by your faith made you well. Jesus can do it by himself, but it's way more fun to get other people involved. And so I want us to do this. If we can all really quickly just do this, if we can all bow our heads and close our eyes. I'm not going to take long for this, but the truth is, what sickness is to your body, sin is to your soul. And if you're here tonight, and maybe you don't have a relationship with Jesus, maybe you've never given your life to Jesus, or it's been a really long time since you've had a relationship with Jesus, I don't want to go any further praying for healing of a sick body without praying for a forgotten soul. And so, man, I want you to know that Jesus wants to find you. Jesus died for you, rose from the dead on behalf of you. And he desperately wants to have a relationship with you. So if you're here in the room and you've never given your life to Jesus, or it's been a long time since you've been 100% for Jesus, if that's you, with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you'd say yes to Jesus, man, for the first time or the first time in a long time, without anyone looking around, I just want to know who I'm praying for. Can you just raise your hand if that's you saying yes to Jesus? Awesome, awesome, awesome. Okay. So then we're gonna move on. If we can do this. Man, I do pray. Man, I pray for all the people who said yes this morning. I pray that you would just spur their faith on.
This concludes the teaching. Thank you for listening, and we hope you can join us for next Sunday's service with Pastor Steve Raines.